A million contract workers in California may soon get employee status from their employers. That's because of a bill that Governor Gavin Newsom is expected to sign into law anytime now. The plan would rein in businesses' use of independent contractors. That means Uber and Lyft drivers, janitors, construction workers, nail salon workers, and others would automatically become employees and collect pay guarantees and benefits. The law would kick in on January 1st, 2020. Supporters say the move would improve labor conditions for people in the so-called gig economy. Opponents say it'll make doing business more expensive and harm workers who want flexible jobs. Erin Hatton is an associate professor in the Department of Sociology at the University at Buffalo. She specializes in work and labor markets. She got her master's and doctorate, by the way, at UW-Madison. Erin, thanks a lot for joining us.
Hi, Rob. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, what's your take, Erin, on the impact of this change in California?
Well, as indicators suggest, it could be huge. There are not only, you know, thousands upon thousands of workers in this kind of new so-called gig economy. There are lots of other workers in other sectors that have been, for quite a while now, effectively misclassified as independent contractors rather than employees, and so have been excluded from all of these different types of employment protections and benefits that comes with the employment relationship.
Right. Uber and Lyft have been the headlines in this story. But can you talk about the rise of the outsourcing, turning somebody who used to be an employee into a contractor?
That's right. This is a new phenomenon. The newness of the gig work is more has to do with the technology involved. But really, this has been going on for quite a long time. Before there was the gig economy, there was the temp economy. And other companies such as, say, FedEx or Microsoft have been using either temps or independent contractors as effectively long-term employees who don't qualify for employment benefits and employment protections. So this isn't new. This has been going on for quite a long time. You know, certainly temp work came around in the 50s and 60s, and the shift this kind of misclassification as independent contractors has really started in the late 1980s and took hold in the 1990s.
What does an employee get that a contractor does not?
Yes, that's a great question. So independent contractors are effectively self-employed. That means they set their own wages, presumably, and as such, as their own, their bosses, because they are self-employed, therefore they do not qualify for minimum wages. They do not qualify for overtime. They don't qualify for sick leave, for family leave, and importantly, they don't qualify for the right to unionization. They also have to pay their own payroll taxes. They have to pay their own unemployment insurance taxes. So there are a lot of different kind of protections and benefits that they're excluded from that are have been attached to the employment relationship.
This California law wouldn't make contractors go away. What does the law change when it comes to defining who is a contractor versus who is an employee? What are the standards it sets?
Right. It just simplifies the issue. There have been a lot of tests in place for a long time, which are frankly have been quite complicated and easy to get around. And so it kind of creates a simplified, more streamlined test for determining who is an employee under the law and who is an independent contractor. So they say, the law says, that an independent contractor must be free from the control of the hiring entity or the employer. They must perform work that's outside the normal scope of business of that employer. And they must be kind of an independent practitioner. You know, imagine someone who goes around from business to business giving their specialized services from time to time, but they do not work at the pleasure under the control of that employer day in and day out.
Talking to Erin Hatton from the University at Buffalo about a change in law in California, could be coming to other states as well, saying, hey, a lot of people are currently treated as contractors, gig employees. They're really employees, and they need that different status. They'll get better protections and benefits. Now, that second point, that second criteria you just mentioned about it being in their kind of main mission, you have to be outside that main mission if you're a contractor. Uber has already said, well, that's okay. We're exempt from the law because it's our job is a platform for various digital marketplaces. Our drivers aren't really the core mission. Is that going to be a hard case for them to make?
I do think that will be a hard case for them to make. That is a case that they have been making for quite a few years now. But frankly, it just doesn't pass the smell test. Because when we think of Uber, when we use Uber, we think of it as not a business that is providing consumers with technology. No, they are a business that provides consumers with rides. It's a ride service company, a ride sharing company that uses technology to do so. In short, they are in the business of providing rides.
The argument that Uber and many other companies are making is that, okay, you do this, it's going to make stuff more expensive, it's going to raise our costs. Some of the contractors who currently work for us will not work for us anymore because we can't afford them anymore.
Well, that may as well be. I mean, in point of fact, a lot of the social standards of living that we, the system that we have developed in this country, has predicated our individual standard of living on employment. Now, we can talk about rearranging that system and decoupling basic standards of living from employment. But in the system that in which we're working, where standards of living are predicated on employment, that also means, and the system that we've developed, is that employers have to help pay for it. So they have to contribute to payroll taxes. They have to pay unemployment insurance. They can't discriminate against workers. They have to recognize unions where they're formed. This law is simply trying to close the loopholes through which employers have kind of gotten around that system, have exploited the loophole to avoid paying their share to workers.
Now, one group that's raised concerns that I hadn't seen until just a little while ago, newspapers in California say, well, hold on, we pay people to write freelance articles. Sometimes we bring back freelancers again and again. This could end up affecting us. Do you see that as a side outcome, or should it apply to these newspapers?
Well, I think it depends on the circumstance. It depends if they pass the test. This test is quite clear, it certainly takes some legal analysis and legal interpretation to determine. But for many journalists, as I understand it, no, I'm not a journalist, but they write articles for a number of different outlets. In that case, as I understand it, they are a true independent contractor. They are kind of selling their wares, their specialty and expertise to different businesses and coming in and providing them on a temporary basis. So, yes, they work within the normal scope, but they are an independent practitioner and do so for several different outlets at their own pleasure, right? They determine their work hours. They determine their pay, I think. Actually, I don't know on that note. But that could be open to legal test.
Now, this is California, and a lot of times California is the first state to change a law, but not the last state. Are you looking for similar things to happen elsewhere in the country?
Oftentimes, you're right. California is kind of a path maker, and I've heard rumors that New York State, where I'm located now, may try to follow suit. And as far as I'm concerned, that's a positive thing. Again, unless we change our social system, which guarantees a basic standard of living for people apart from employment, then I believe that we need to close loopholes through which employers are evading their obligations within the system for all workers.
We're talking about the future of contract work and the gig economy with Erin Hatton. She's an associate professor in the Department of Sociology at the University at Buffalo. Law in California, expected to be signed soon by the governor, would change the status, clarify the laws, and say, hey, a lot of people are now being treated and paid and dealing with payroll taxes as contractors. They're really employees. Effective next year, they would be. Want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you support this effort in California to treat many of these contract workers as employees, or do you worry about its effect on business and or workers? Are you a gig worker? Do you rely on gig workers like Uber and Lyft drivers yourself? What do you think about this? If you're a contractor, would you rather be classified as a contractor or an employee? If you're an employer, same question about who you hire. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about a plan in California that would curb businesses' use of independent contractors in many cases. A lot of those workers would be reclassified as employees and granted new job benefits and pay guarantees. This would affect industries such as ride hailing, think Uber and Lyft, but also construction and commercial fishing, just to name a few. Erin Hatton is our guest, associate professor in the Department of Sociology at the University at Buffalo. She's an expert in work and labor markets. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this idea? Would you want to see Wisconsin do something similar? Are you now or have you ever been a contract worker or a gig employee? What did you think about it? Would you rather be an employee or a contract worker? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Matt is with us in Madison. Matt, hi.
Hi. I have a little bit of a problem with using Uber as an example because I see the future having lots of digital platforms that help to bring people that are providing services to consumers. I mean, in the past, we'd flip out a phone book and you'd call people, and there are no more phone books anymore. And so if you're looking to get somewhere and you also, you know, got another guy who wants to help people get there, how far can a digital platform go in connecting those two people before somebody says, wait a minute, you should be an employee, when maybe the contractor says, I want nothing to do with being an employee of Uber. I just want to find people to give rides to. And the same for the other side. I don't really want to do business with Uber other than helping to find a guy. And you could extrapolate that out to many different industries.
Matt, thanks a lot for the call. And Erin, that's, of course, the argument from Uber. We're not employing drivers. We're a matchmaking service.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point. So one can certainly imagine a company in which that were actually true. So let's say Uber didn't provided the technology not just to connect people to rides, but to all sorts of services. It could be house cleaning, dog walking, rides, book clubs, any sorts of things. So if they were truly focused on the technology as kind of this intermediary between consumer and worker, that would look very, very different. And therefore, we would be talking about those workers in a very different way than this company that uses technology to provide one service. And the service that they're providing to consumers is rides. And so under this new law, that those workers would fall, would become employees rather than true independent contractors.
Matt, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Back to your calls. Melissa is on the line now in Merrill. Melissa, hi.
Yeah, I was calling because with the changes in the income taxes, if they're classified as an employee and they pay, let's say, minimum wage, they no longer have to take responsibility for any of the expenses. And as an employee, you can't write off those expenses anymore. So they're going to get taxed in a higher bracket, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas as an independent contractor, they can write off all of those expenses, including, you know, telephone and mileage and, you know, all those things. So how is being an employee better for that person?
Melissa, thanks for the call. Erin, any thoughts?
Yes, Melissa, that's such a good question. So you're right. It's more complicated than just kind of a plus minus here. Because as an independent contractor, because that means that they're self-employed, they can write off those business expenses. But it also means that they're responsible for all of those expenses. But as employees, at least in theory, the business itself would be responsible for those transportation costs. So it does kind of shift around the liability for these expenses. In general, as I understand it, kind of basic kind of economic analysis show that the worker benefits from being an employee for when they're working for Uber and Lyft than as an independent contractor. Because you're right, they can't write off those expenses, but they are not liable for them and solely responsible for them anymore.
And again, as you mentioned earlier, Erin, you have to stack against that too the fact that as a contractor, the employee has to pay their own payroll taxes.
That's right. They are, as a contractor, they have other expenses, as well as they don't get minimum wage. They're not, they don't, or overtime, or those other benefits.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking about contract workers, the gig economy. A new law expected to be signed soon in California that would change many contract workers at places like Uber and Lyft, sure, but also a lot of people who have been turned into contractors from being employees in many lines of work. It's expected to happen soon. That would be effective early next year. You could join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Back to your calls. Troy is with us in Muskego. Troy, hi.
Hello. I am a worker, but I also used to own a business. And number one thing is, this is really, I'm glad they're passing this law, because it's really about just worker, just about employees. I'm sorry, employers trying to get you to do more for less. It's basically exploiting cheap labor. It's a race to the bottom. So I'm glad they're coming up with this law. And the second thing is, I want to make a point, is I don't understand why everybody defends these capitalists, these business owners, like when they say, well, then our prices are going to have to go up. I mean, it's common sense that, you know, a lot of these corporations are making like trillions in profits, and them raising their wages or having to pay these contractors more money or whatever it is not going to affect their profits in a margin that they would like everybody to think. So it's not my fault that they choose to drive a Ferrari as opposed to a Cadillac to work. You know what I mean? So I think we need to really start being more pro. Think about the workers, and so, you know, when it comes to, you know, prices going up, and that these business owners choose to raise their prices so they don't have to cut into their standard of living.
That's Troy. Troy, gotcha. Thanks a lot for the call. Aaron, your thoughts on what Troy had to say?
Yes, I'm definitely with Troy on this one. One of the narratives that businesses use and have long used to justify this or to argue against this kind of switch is to say, well, workers will lose flexibility. But really, that's not exactly the case. What they really mean is that they'll use the flexibility and the cost saving. They'll lose it, the flexibility and the cost savings. And workers will not necessarily lose any flexibility in this new model. They can still determine their own schedules and work any number of hours a week. That doesn't necessarily affect it. It simply says that the employer cannot exploit these loopholes to avoid their responsibility as employers under the law.
Thanks a lot for the call. Pat joins us next in Birchwood. Pat, hello.
Hi. Maybe I've missed something, but what constitutes an employer? For example, I hire a guy who has his own business putting on roofs. And so for 4 days, I am employing him to put a new roof on my house. So I have to pay all these things and, you know, do what, how... You know, how many hours does somebody have to work for someone for that person to be their employer?
Pat, thanks a lot for the call. Aaron, under the law in California, and I think actually under current law, just about anywhere, Pat would not be that roofer's employer, correct?
That's right. That's right. I think there is some variation by state, and I don't know offhand the particulars, but in general, employers are defined by the number of the employers that have to comply with these laws that we're talking about, minimum wage and so on. They have to have a certain number of workers who are working a certain number of hours every year. So having a roofer put a new roof on your house for a couple of days or even a couple of weeks does not make you an employer in that scenario.
Thanks a lot for the call. Time for another caller or two. Jimmy is with us in Mercer. Jimmy, hello.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us about Jimmy?
I worked up here for three different employers that subcontracted me instead of, you know, I got hired there, you know, and this and that. But then I had to fill out like my own like worksheet and whatever, like I was a subcontractor, which I really wasn't. You know, I was using all their tools and all their stuff, and which is okay. I was glad to have a job. You know, that's the bottom line is, you know, people are in a pinch to get a job and they can't really, you know, worry about, you know, how they're subcontractors or not. But I ended up having to carry my own insurance, too, just in case there was some kind of stipulation, because I really wasn't working for the guy, but I was, you know. And then, you know, when you're doing construction work, you're building a house or something, sometimes there's two weeks or a week or so in between where you're not working. Well, they're off the hook to pay you unemployment and stuff, too. So it's kind of unfair, I think. So I think that law should come to Wisconsin, too.
Jimmy, thanks a lot for the call. And Aaron, as I understand it, this could have an impact on construction, at least this California version of the law.
Yes, that's absolutely right. Any industry, and there are quite a few of them, that in which employers kind of regularly avoid this employment relationship, even though they are effectively employees, as Jimmy said, right? He's using their tools. He's working for the guy. But on paper, he's not. He's contracted out. Or there's an independent contractor or, you know, whatever. These are all ways that employers have used to avoid liability for workers, to avoid paying them the proper amount, to avoid paying them unemployment if they get laid off. And these are important loopholes to close.
Thanks a lot for that call. Briefly, as we wrap up, Aaron, this is California, other states thinking about this. Has anybody tackled this at the federal level?
Not as I am aware, but that would look very interesting.
We'll leave it there. Aaron, thanks a lot for joining us today.
All right. Thanks so much for having me.
That's Aaron Hatton, associate professor in the Department of Sociology at the University at Buffalo. We talked with her about legislation in California expected to be signed soon. It would require companies like Uber and Lyft and many others to reclassify their workers as employees, meaning they'd have to provide them with a minimum wage and unemployment benefits. The bill passed both houses of the legislature there. It's expected to be signed by Governor Gavin Newsom. Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, one state says college athletes can receive endorsement money. Others may follow along. We'll tackle the ongoing debate over whether student athletes at the college level should get paid one way or another. Ken Burns has a new documentary out on the history of country music. We'll meet the Wisconsin music historian who played a big role in making it happen. And it's this week's edition of Food Friday. We've got some lasagna in the oven. A cookbook author tells us how to make classic lasagna, new twists on baked pasta dishes, and some delicious side dishes, too. That and look at some of the top news stories going on around Wisconsin. It's all coming up tomorrow here on Central Time.